you to stand with us and turn to number 341. 341. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace
there. I want to ask your continued prayers for the message today and for those who are not saved. I'm going to be reading from the 5th chapter of Matthew, or 25th chapter of Matthew, rather, beginning with verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31, if you care to turn there and read along with me. But I want to say this. First of all, if you are here today and you're lost, because I've seen all of this, and having grown up in Missionary Baptist Church and having pastored Missionary Baptist churches for a little over 20 years, I know that these things are done by people. And I want to say, if you're here today and you're lost, that God's Word, and the Bible tells us this, God's Word is settled forever in heaven. And the Bible also tells us that His Word is going to stand forever. And when you hear the Word of God, you know, if you choose, and God does allow us to choose, but when you hear the Word of God, if you choose to believe that it's not so, won't make it not so. It will still be true. it will still be God's word of truth. If you try to, when God deals with your heart through his truth, if you try to ignore that, if you try to, push God away, or if you try to go hide out in the bathroom when the altar call is given, or whatever trick that you may try, that's not going to make God not exist. And that's not going to make the fact that you're lost, it's not going to change that one bit. Once a person becomes lost and separated from God, the only thing that will change that condition is being born again by the Spirit of God. And, you can deceive yourself all the way into hell if that's what you choose to do, but that's not what God wants. And that's not what God's people want. So the best thing you can do is embrace that truth and turn to the Lord and seek him and be saved. And then everything will be settled. It'll be well with your soul. So turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 25, and let's read together with verse 31. This is Jesus doing the talking. These are words that Jesus spoke while he was here on the earth. He said, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of these, to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And the thought that God has given me, and what I want to bring before you today from these scriptures, is I want to speak to you for a little while about heaven and hell. Heaven and hell. I'm convinced, and I believe, that the Bible speaks very plainly that heaven and hell are the two and the only two places of eternal abode. Now, I want to begin by saying that we are an eternal creature. A human being is an eternal being. God made us that way. There's a lot of people in the world today that don't understand what really happens when we die. James, in his writing, explained it very well and very plainly. He says, the body without the spirit is dead. And that's what happens when we face natural death. When we die and leave the world, that's exactly what death is. It is a separation of the inner man and the outer man, or the spirit and the body, the soul and the body, however you want to term that. That is when what is inwardly, what is eternal, separates from that which is not. Because we're plainly taught in the Bible that this body that we have is going back to the dust. It's going back to the dust. You know, I've said this before, and there are people, you know, we live in a world that's very health conscious, and that's a great thing. I mean, it's wonderful to exercise. It's wonderful to take care of the body. But no matter how much care we give to this body, whatever we do, you know, we could build up muscles and we could build our lungs up to where, I mean, our heart and everything to where we're really in good physical shape. But no matter what we do, we're going back to the dust. This body will return to the dust from where it was taken. But the spirit will live eternally. That which is within us will live on in eternity. And it will absolutely dwell either in heaven or in hell. It will dwell in the place if that person has made the necessary preparation, been born again by the Spirit of God, then they have an eternity to look forward to in heaven in the presence of God. If that person has failed to make peace with God, if that person has lived their life and failed to repent of their sins and place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again by His Spirit, then that person will spend an eternity in hell. And the Bible is very, very plain about that. You know, if anybody would be willing, and as these scriptures that I have read before you today, if you are willing to take what the Bible says, then you're forced to that conclusion. Jesus spoke of both of those places, and I might say this, and I wanted to say this concerning heaven and hell. There are many that look at them and they believe in them as being as heaven just being a state of bliss, or hell just being a state of torment. But I'll tell you what I believe about it today. I believe that heaven and hell are both places. I believe they're real places. I believe heaven is as much a place as earth is a place. And, you know, as real as Bowling Green is a city, there is a real place. I'm convinced of that. There is a place called heaven. There is a place called hell. And those that, as I said, those that make it right with God have an eternity to look forward to in heaven, and those that don't have nothing but an eternal destruction and damnation away from the presence of God. Jesus spoke about that in these verses, and he spoke about hell. And when you hear, when you read the scriptures, and Jesus throughout the Gospels, you will find that Jesus Christ, the Lord, when he was here on earth, he spoke about this place called hell as much or more than anybody did. And when you read the scriptures where Jesus spoke about it, Jesus had a tendency in talking about this to associate hell with fire. In these in this verse here from Matthew chapter 25, Jesus didn't even actually use the term hell in this particular place. He just spoke of everlasting fire. Those who weren't prepared, those who were on the left hand, those who were referred to as the goats, those who were not saved by the grace of God, the Bible tells us, and Jesus told us, that he would say unto them, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, I have also read that there are those that believe in hell, but they believe it to just be a place of torment. They don't believe there to be a literal fire there. And I'm going to have to say that I don't agree with that either. There are too many passages of Scripture, there are too many places where Jesus himself spoke about it as being a place of flames or a place of fire. Now, I will say this, that I don't believe that it's exactly the type of fire that you and I are aware of. When we go out somewhere, maybe in the backyard or out camping, and we build a fire, and that fire begins to, roar, and it puts off light, and I don't believe that that type of fire exists in hell, because there won't be any light there. It's a place of outer darkness, but yet it burns with eternal flames. It burns with what we might, the only way that I know to describe it is it's a place of black flame. But it is a place of fire. In fact, if we look in the 20th chapter of Revelation, the Bible tells us there that refers to it there as being a lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into what? Into the lake of fire. In the fifth chapter of Matthew, in verse 22, Jesus referred to it as hell fire. Read it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus called it hell fire. Jesus also, speaking of hell, said it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You see, the Lord made all of these, spoke all of these passages, all of these things concerning hell, and he called it a place of fire. Jesus was the one speaking, and what's recorded in the 16th chapter of Luke, Jesus was the one that was speaking concerning Lazarus and the rich man, and he really got detailed in that account. He said that there was a beggar named Lazarus, and there was a certain rich man, and the rich man fared sumptuously every day, where Lazarus the beggar didn't have the things that he needed to sustain him from day to day. And so he would come and lay at the rich man's gate, and he would beg the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He had sores on his body, and the Bible tells us that the dogs came and licked his sores. And he was in an awful shape physically. He was poor and he was sore all over, and physically he was destitute and he was in very, very bad shape, while this rich man fared sumptuously every day. I mean, he had everything that he needed to satisfy his flesh. And folks, listen, honestly, that is the problem with so many people today, is they are trying so hard to tend to the things of the flesh and leave and let go the things that are eternal. We heard Brother Todd's testimony this morning, and he's right. Life is short, and none of us are here forever. But so many people, I mean, people work really, really hard. And I already told you, I don't have anything against, and I don't mean to say that, I'm not preaching against people exercising and people taking care of their bodies. But friends, listen, there are so many people in the world today that that's all they're trying to do. That's all that they're concerned about. They're concerned about how good their physical heart is, or their physical lungs, or how good they look in front of the mirror, how good they look when they're there prepping or whatever. But listen to me, friends. The body is going back to the dust. It's going back to the dust. Thank God there's a part of us that will live forever. I have eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. I'm going to live forever. This body can die. That's all right with me. I came to grips with that a long time ago when I made peace with God. This body can die. It's going to die. I know that it's going to die. But thank God, the very moment that it does, that my soul will take its flight to be with God. I'll tell you what, to live in this world knowing that you're saved, there's nothing better. There's nothing any more peaceful. There's nothing any more comforting than to know that everything is well between you and the Lord. Hell's real. Lost friend, it's real. Jesus went on in that teaching there concerning Lazarus and the rich man. He says, Lazarus, the beggar, died. And he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried. And in hell, lift up his eyes, being in torments. And he began to beg for mercy, but there was no mercy. His opportunity for mercy was gone. He wasn't going to receive mercy anymore. Friends, listen, I want you to know today, if you leave this world lost and separated from God, all opportunities for mercy are forever past. They're gone. There's people today that believe that you can get mercy after this life, and you can have somebody pray for you and you can get mercy after this life. But I'll tell you what, those ideas are born in the eyes of men, because you won't find it in God's word. You just won't find it taught. The rich man died, the beggar died. They both left time and went into eternity. The beggar Lazarus went to heaven. He was comforted there in the bosom of Abraham there in heaven. He was with his Jewish father Abraham. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he began to beg for mercy. He didn't ask for a whole lot. He certainly didn't ask for the things that he had in this life. He didn't beg God to send Lazarus there to help him to fare sumptuously every day in hell like he did in this life. His request was actually a very humble one. He just asked that he might send Lazarus, that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue, because why? He said, I am tormented in these flames. Now, you know, you can take all of that. You can take all of those scriptures. If this is what you choose to do, I pray that it won't be, but if this is what you choose to do, you can take all of those scriptures that I have shared with you this morning, where Jesus Christ himself spoke about a place called hell and called it a place of eternal torment and eternal flames, and you can take them and you can ignore them and you can say, well, there's no such place as hell. But I'll tell you what, friends, I'll tell you what I would advise you to do today. I'd advise you to stick with the Word of God, because he told us the truth. There is a heaven to be gained and there is absolutely a hell to be shunned. Hell is real. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. If you look in the writings of the Apostle Peter, he tells us about the angels that have already sinned against God, and they have been put into hell, and they are in chains reserved there to the day of judgment. When an angel sins, there is no redemption. God did not make a plan of redemption for angels. When an angel falls, they're just fallen. And those that have fallen are reserved in darkness. They're in hell, in chains, under the day of judgment. But friends, listen, if you are lost and separated from God here today, if you have not been saved, you're on your way to the lower world right now. You're on your way to a burning hell. But thank God that he made a way of redemption for man. He made a way of redemption for fallen man. God made a way, friend, for you to be saved. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to die and end up where the rich man did. When the angels sinned, there was no choice for them. God cast them into hell, into darkness, and put them in chains and held them there, and is holding them there to the day of judgment. But I want you to know something today. If you die without God and lose your soul for eternity to a devil's hell, it will be because you chose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, listen, man has the choice of whether to seek the Lord and be saved or to reject him and be eternally lost, and you will stand before God one day. Every one of us will stand before God one day as an individual, and we will give an account of ourselves unto God. Every one of us. Lost friend, I want you to know that is absolutely coming. You will stand before your Creator, and you will absolutely give an account unto yourself to God, and nothing in that day is going to work. You won't find any excuse that God will accept. You won't be able to stand before God and say, well, that day that the preacher was preaching, he didn't preach well enough, or he didn't make it plain enough. Listen, friends, if you have been privileged enough to hear the truth of God's word, you better thank God for it. You better thank God for it. And you better turn to the Lord and you better embrace it. Because if you don't, the day is swiftly approaching when it's going to be too late. The Bible, speaking about hell in the book of Revelation, says the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and forever. Last night, I sat down last night, and I tried to read, and I tried to study, and every time that I looked at these passages, all I seemed to be able to do was weep. I just sat there on my couch, and all I could do was just weep when I really thought about the fact that human beings, people that we see from day to day, people that we know, you know, people that many times that we're acquainted with, they're walking around in this sin-sick, dangerous world, and they're lost and without God, and hell is just waiting to swallow them up, just waiting to claim their soul for eternity. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that, does it? It doesn't get any worse than that. I'll tell you what, that beggar, Lazarus, you could have, if he would have lived in our day, you could have come and looked at that man laying there begging for crumbs. I mean, what a sad thing when you think about it, for somebody to have to beg for a few crumbs so they'll have something to eat, while this rich man sitting on the other side of the gate there is just eating everything that he wants. And here, this man with these sores all over his body and dogs coming around and licking on his sores. Friends, I know it's grotesque, but that's exactly what the Bible tells us happened. Dogs coming around and licking the sores on this man's body and him begging for crumbs. And this rich man on the other side of the gate just living it up. And you could look at that beggar and say, oh, what a sad state. But I'll tell you what, he was a lot better off than the rich man. He was a whole lot better off than the rich man. And we find out that very quickly, because he had made the proper and the necessary preparations to spend an eternity with God. Friends, listen, it's not what happens to you in this life. It's not whether or not you gain fame and fortune in this life. It's not whether or not you have all the money that you want in this world. Jesus warned people not to lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Listen, you can gain all the world. You could gain all the treasures of this world, and it's subject to be stolen, and it's subject to rust, and it's subject to decay. Man has never yet laid his hands to anything and built it that won't be torn down. It'll all be destroyed. God will light it up one of these days, won't he? He'll send fire from heaven and he'll light it up and he'll burn up everything that man has ever built. He sure will. So the fact that that beggar died and was carried by the angels into heaven, and the rich man died and was buried and in hell lift up his eyes being in torments. The beggar was really the one that was rich, and the rich man was really the one that was poor. If you look at what true prosperity actually is and true poverty actually is, because the beggar, Lazarus, got to spend an eternity in heaven in the presence of God. You know, sometimes I'm afraid that even as God's people, I'm afraid sometimes we just give way too much thought to the world. But you know what, Brother Strode? Honestly, and we all know this is true, there's coming a point for us when it won't make one bit of difference what we had in this life. If you had more than I had, or I had more than you had, it won't make one bit of difference. We're coming to that point in time, every one of us, friends. Listen, if you're here today and you're saved, or you're here today and you're lost, we are all coming to that one little second in time that the only thing that's going to make any difference at all is whether or not you've been born again by the Spirit of God. You know, I've been to funerals. I've been to many funerals. I've preached funerals. I've officiated at funerals. I've been to burials. One time, I preached a funeral for a man that didn't even have, there wasn't even enough people. He didn't even have enough family or know enough people that they could carry him to his grave. I preached his funeral and had to help carry his coffin to the grave. I've you know, known people in this life and been at funerals of people that died, and they were, I mean, they were, as far as money goes, they were pretty comfortable in the world. And you know what? You know what I've noticed? When they take that body out there in that box and they bury it in the ground, they throw the same dirt on the rich person as they do on the poor person. Same dirt. You know what? When they take them out there and bury them, all that's in that coffin, whether the person was saved or lost or rich or poor or whatever it is, all that's in that coffin is that body that's going back to the dust. I've never seen anybody taking their house with them or their cars with them. Can't be done. We come into the world with nothing, and it's certain that we'll take nothing with us when we go. It doesn't make any difference when we come down to that point, that little point of death, that little second of time. The only thing that makes any difference at all is whether or not we were saved by the grace of God. If you weren't, friend, you're going to go to hell. You're going to spend an eternity in hell, the place of everlasting fire and torment without God. It's right there in the book. It's in the book. You know, there are people in the world today, I've known people in my life that, you know, wanted to believe in heaven and did believe in heaven. They believed there was a place called heaven, but they denied even the existence of a place called hell. Let me tell you something. If you're going to deny the existence of hell, then you go ahead and deny the existence of heaven, because they're in the same book. They're both found in the Word of God. They are both taught by Jesus Christ himself. The 25th chapter of Matthew, he spoke of both of them, a heaven and a hell. Come ye blessed of my Father, to the sheep, to the saved. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, to the goats, to the lost. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Those were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven and hell, they're both real. They're both real. Heaven awaits the saved. What a joy it'll be to get home. When I think about what's waiting me in eternity, I get happy and I get excited and I have great anticipation of what I'm going to see and how I'm going to feel. We studied in our vacation Bible school this week about Jesus. What a great, there's nothing greater to learn about than to learn about Jesus. Studied all week long, had lessons about Jesus. What a great thought to think about seeing the Lord Jesus. But what a horrible thought to think about dying lost and separated from Him and having to spend an eternity without ever knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm saved. I wouldn't trade what God gave me in that moment when He saved my soul. I wouldn't trade it to you today for all the riches of this life, because I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. And it doesn't make a whole lot of difference what I have here, because my riches are waiting for me. They're waiting for me in heaven. Brother Ronnie, if you would get us a song. I want to say this. I came here today hoping, with a prayer on my heart, that if there were people here today that were lost, that you would turn to the Lord and seek Him, that you might be saved. That's my prayer, and that's God's great desire for you. He will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But what will you do? What will you do with Jesus? Will you come to Him and seek Him, or will you push Him away? I'd like to encourage you to seek the Lord, because you can be saved. You can be saved. If you'll repent of your sins and trust Him, you can have eternal life. While we stand and sing.
334.
Let everyone follow the Lord.
Bottom, 334.
Church, do what God would have you to do.
Mid the toil and strife of this busy life, is it well with your soul? Are you living right? Should you die tonight?
How about it? Is it well with your soul today?
Is it well with your soul?
Or are you lost and in your sins?
Is it well?
Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time.
Are you free?
If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Come to the Lord. Come and seek Him. He wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. Are you going to push Him away and spend an eternity in hell, in the torments of that place, without the Lord? What are you going to do, lost friend? What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do?
Is it well?
Are you going to turn to Him, or are you going to reject Him?
With your
die
soul,
lost and in your sins. How about it?
Are
will you come
you
to the Lord?
The
will you come to Him and seek Him today and come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin? God, have mercy on your souls.
Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? Are you free, glad and whole? Are you living right? Should you die tonight? Is it well with your soul? Do you praise the love of the one above? Is it well with your soul? Will the crown be won and the Lord's well done. Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? Are you free, glad and whole? Are you living right? Should you die tonight? Is it well with your soul?
I'm going to tell you something, friends, that I've heard this said by people for years. There are people that make fun of the preachers that preach about hell. There are people that scoff at those hell, fire, and brimstone preachers. There are. You know, they say they ought to quit preaching that stuff and just tell people about God's love. Well, I'll tell you honestly who you ought to despise. You ought to despise those that quit preaching about it. And there was, in our country, in the early 1800s, about the 1830s, there were some men that showed up, and that's exactly what they thought. They thought, you know, people ought to just quit preaching about hell and quit talking about that stuff. But you know what? When they quit preaching about it, that didn't make it any less real, did it? Still there, and people are still going there if they die lost. I don't know what else to tell you. If you can listen to God's word concerning the fact that there is an eternal hell of torment that awaits you, and just be idle in it, I will tell you this. When I was lost, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it. It would just tear me all to pieces. I hope you haven't hardened your heart to the point where you can just listen to that and not be affected. Because the only thing you'll accomplish, Romans chapter 2 tells us, after thy hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up to yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. That's all you'll accomplish by hardening your heart against God. One more verse, brother. One more verse.
$392 at the bottom of the page.
Lost friend, turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord and seek Him for the salvation of your soul.
Let's do the second one.
Oh, most persuaded, come today. Oh, most persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here, angels are lingering near, prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wonder come.
Remember service tonight at 6 o'clock. Brother David Price from Fairview be here to preach. Appreciate you all being here today, and appreciate our visitors being with us today, and want to invite you to come back and be with us whenever that you can. Brother Greg Powell, would you please pray the benediction?